Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday Triple M NRL rocking the grand final. And of course you can hear it live on the Triple M network next week. It's the Raiders and the Roosters. Today, Nathan Brown, Paul Kent, Triceps Hooper, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Now, we do know that the Canterbury Cup Grand Final is on today, and it's a beauty too. Newtown taking on the Wendy Magpies, two of the great old rugby league territories of Sydney. So we're going to get an update, a preview on that game from Mark Spud Carroll from his hospital bed. He's in hospital because he was bitten by a tick, the big tough knockabout that he
hey,
is.
Listen.
Nah, come on, mate.
Do me a favour, yeah. Okay? Mm. Mark Carroll's played for Australia. Mark Carroll's played for New South Wales. Yeah. Mark Carroll's one of the toughest blokes kicking around. Mm. Don't you start taking pot shots at him.
No,
right?
I will start taking.
No, you are.
Are
you
I
taking
will.
Cheap
yeah,
pot
I
shots
am taking cheap
because
pot
you can, and he's not here to defend
because
himself.
Because he's bitten by a tick, and he's. You know what? I got bitten by a tick when I was 9 at Old Sydney Town.
Yep.
Right up. Way up
around
above the top of my
area,
leg
was
there.
It?
When
yeah.
I got home,
what,
my mother.
The groin or
yeah,
where?
Yeah.
Right.
And my mother pulled it out with a pair of tweezers, and I was at school the next day. Okay. Here's this big tough guy
yep.
that you all
paralysis,
look up to,
mate.
And
yep.
he's pulling out of. He's in bed in hospital because
yep.
he got bitten by a tick.
Well, I'll tell you how we'll settle this, Maroon. He's got a gym on Crown Street in Woolloomooloo, and you can toddle down there any day you like. You pick the day, you pick
oh, you'll
the time.
Go down. That, yeah.
You
careful,
can hop. Hurts. You can hop in the ring with Mark.
Yeah.
Free of charge, you can lace up a couple of gloves and we'll see how you go.
I'll be honest, I reckon you can go down now and try and get him in his hospital bed and still win.
Yeah. Well, you can say what you want about me, but this is not about me. This is a bloke.
No, who, you're trying to barbecue a bloke who's not here to defend himself.
Hey, Maroon, these blokes haven't seen you in action, have they?
No, they haven't.
No,
mate.
Oh,
they
no haven't. We have.
They haven't. Yeah, no, we have.
They
yeah.
haven't.
Yeah. We said that. We thought it was an old lady getting mugged.
Timo nicknamed him Golden Gloves.
Yeah. Well, anyway, when I was bitten by a tick, I didn't finish. I was at school the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, how can I take this bloke to sportsman's lunches? He's going to talk about how tough he is, and people are going to say, how bad did the tick bite you?
I'll tell you how you take him, because you cop however much it is unfolding off the host of the sportsman's lunches,
you're
right?
Off the point,
and
mate.
Then you give a little bit
to
Spud,
point.
And then you cream the rest for yourself.
Yeah, mate,
and away
I'm
you
running
go.
A legitimate business. This bloke is in hospital because he's bitten by a tick. Let's leave that right there and talk about what's going on in the world of rugby league. Anthony Seibold finds himself at the centre of attention again, and this time, Hoops, because the discussion around Matt Lodge being... Let me start with you, actually, Gordy. The most famous club, well, one of the most famous clubs in the world in rugby league, and they want to make Matt Lodge, with his history, the captain?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit strange. You can be a leader in a club without the C beside his name, and everybody's got a pass, but his is well known, and it was, you know, to have that guy, I was vocal when they signed him because the Broncos in the past would release players like that, you know, Julian O'Neill or whoever, they had problems off the field. They just got moved on straight away, and they signed him, and I got over that. But now I think it'll just be rubbing salt in everybody's face, I think, if they make him captain, you know, especially for what the club stands for or what they want to stand for. And if he's the captain, it's a sad old place in my eyes.
I don't know if it'll happen now, though.
You don't reckon?
No.
You reckon
they
tested the temperature?
That was just a toe in the water. And I think they intended to. And I think that was part of his negotiation for him to re-sign, that they said to him that they'd look to give him the captaincy. But I think they put the toe in the water. Let's just see how it's received. And I think such is the uproar over it that they just... They'll back away and they'll say, look, we never intended to, but they certainly did.
It's a bit of a reflection on where they're at the moment, that they're looking at Lodge as one of the co-captains, and then they're talking about Patrick Carrigan, who's a, look, don't get me wrong, he's a good young front rower coming through and learning his trade, but Gordon, the bloke's played, I think it's only 17 NRL games, and he comes off the bench, and they're talking about making him co-captain next season. Is that a sign? Does that just show exactly like where the Broncos are at the moment?
Yeah. The obvious choice is Matt Gillett, and they say that he doesn't talk. You don't need to be a great talker because he leads on the field. Like, there's got to be someone in that organisation.
But the talk, Gordon, about Matt Gillett is that next year he'll be coming off the bench.
Yeah, apparently they told him that in those exit interviews that they had last week.
And so he can't take the captaincy if he's not starting the game.
Yeah, but the irony of that, Kenny, is that Carrigan's going to be coming off the bench as well.
Yeah, I know that, but that's why Lodge is also there, because he'll lead them on the field. But the silly part is, for the past Yeah, 12 weeks of the competition, when everyone started saying, what's going on with Darius Boyd? One of the reasons that was often given for why he was picked is because of his leadership abilities. And yet here he is being told that he won't be captain next year.
I think from an outsider looking in, this is what my take on it is, and I haven't been told this. I just think this is what I'm seeing. You know, the older players have had Wayne Bennett, who's won 7 comps, whose coaching resume is better than anyone in the history of the game. All the players that play for Wayne all really like him, a great relationship with him. Wayne's been the master at getting people to believe in themselves and get the best out of players with what they naturally bring to the table. Anthony Seibold's philosophy is so far away from Wayne's philosophy, it's the exact opposite. And my guess as an outsider is that the younger players may well be buying more into what Anthony Seibold's doing than the ones that have been coached by Wayne. And you can't have, as I said about CSL Ali, you cannot have, doesn't matter how many games your captain's played, if he's not supporting the coach's philosophy 100%, it ain't going to work. And I think what Anthony Seibold's testing there and Paul White is there's an element of player who are 100% behind Anthony Seibold's coaching style, but there's still some there that, you know, be hard going from Wayne's style, 7 premierships, to Anthony Seibold's style, who's still a young coach. He'd only had 1 year in the NRL until this year. And if you don't get 100% traction, like I mentioned about CSL Ali, you don't have a football club.
Well, tell you what, Brandy, the jury's out on Anthony Seibold's coaching style and him as an NRL coach, because as Kenty pointed out earlier, you know, he came into a South Sydney side that had been coached by Michael Maguire. Yeah, they hadn't made the finals, but the thing you know with Michael Maguire coached sides is they're going to be rock-hard fit, and they're going to have a very good system set up and in place. And he's gone up to the Broncos. He's taken an axe to the roster. He's got rid of senior players, Josh Maguire, Jordan Kahu, Cody Nikorima. The list goes on, and they're all test and representative players. And now he's talking about making a bloke who's played 17 NRL games one of the co-captains of the club. And not only that, but like, let's talk about Darius Boyd. Like, he moved Boyd to 6 and put Milford to fullback. And then in the exit interviews this week, he tells Boyd, you still be in the 17, but I'm going to play you at left centre now. Why didn't he just move him to left centre in the first place?
I got no idea.
This is where, like, where the in world sport today, this is where your general manager of football, it's not a CEO, it's your general manager of football, has got to be aligned with the recruiter and the coach about your recruitment. So if you look at Richmond, everyone's saying Richmond's on this dynasty now. So Neil Barmy was the football manager of Geelong. He had Geelong go. He leaves Geelong, goes to Richmond. And these people have a far bigger impact on, I suppose, coaches' careers because the way they help coaches out. And if you look at Brisbane, Jack Bird's best spot's right centre. Jimmy the Jet's best spot's right centre. Katoni Staggs' best spot's right centre. So Brisbane had a shitload of money in 3 people whose best position's right centre. So how's the general manager or how's the roster management been? So Brisbane have got all these...
And don't have a 5'8".
Yeah, and so they have all these...
Or a halfback.
All these terrific players, but they've got too many players that can play right centre where maybe Jack Bird's money could have been Luke Carey, for example. Or Jimmy the Jet.
Or
Jimmy the Jet's not there.
Isn't Darren Lockyer on that committee? Is it Darren Lockyer?
Well, Lockie's on the retention committee, yes.
Mate, boys, it's not an easy... People don't understand. It's not a... You know, this is not an easy not business.
I get that, but it's not that complicated. You had Mitchell Pearce come... Like, Darren Lockyer's been retired for 5 years. You had Cooper Cronk. You've had Daly Cherry-Evans. You've had Mitchell Pearce. You've had James Maloney. You've had Michael Morgan. There's big shoes to be filled there.
There is, but this
one... they keep on going after all these kids. Now, what they're doing is getting rid of anybody that had heart and playing hard for the side and got all these young kids in to buy himself five years. The place wasn't that bad. Andrew Johns tipped them to win the competition. They should have been top 4, but now all of a sudden all these kids are getting thrown out. Then they're starting with these young kids to buy themselves time. I don't get it.
I'm not here to defend Anthony Seibold. I'm just telling you the facts of the matter. If you look at the Roosters, right, everyone talks about the Roosters and the money they spend. I'd guarantee you Brisbane Broncos are spending the same money as Brisbane, but Latrell Mitchell's a left centre. They don't have $500,000 or $600,000 in another left centre. Joey Manu's a right centre. They don't have $500,000 or $600,000 in another right centre. Luke Keary's a 5'8". Cooper Cronk's a halfback, and Brisbane haven't got that right. And,
this is a great point.
And I'm not here to defend Anthony Seibold. The decision, if Darius Boyd is, everyone says he's cooked, Who made the decision to re-sign Darius Boyd for 3 years and not go after Kalen Ponga?
Well,
like, who's making all these decisions rather than just blame the coach? That's all I'm saying.
Their general manager of football, their head of football, is Peter Nolan.
He started as a glassy at the club.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, we all got
He started as a glassy, and then he became a development officer. Then I think he was a manager of the Toowoomba Clydesdales. Then I don't know what he did because I left the club then, but I think he went to Parramatta.
Right.
And then they had salary cap problems, didn't they? And their roster was, you know, with the Wap Mao and all those guys, and now he's at Brisbane.
Well, in fairness, Gordy, he's got a fair eye for talent, Brownie, because he has unearthed Payne Haas, all those young guys.
Who couldn't spot him? He's 9'8". Oh, wow. That's cool. Oh,
In fairness, Gordy, he's got Haas. He's got Tevita Pangai Jr. He's got Offhand Galway. Like, he has got the Broncos roster is the envy of many other sides in the competition. But as
can I tell you something? They don't find them. The player managers find them. Right? They go out there and they sign them. And then these footy club guys go and sweet talk the managers and do deals to get them. That's it.
Okay, let's talk now specifically about the discussions that were had, Hoops, between Anthony Seibold and Brody Croft.
Yes, Anthony. I feel a bit sorry for Anthony Seibold in this respect. He's in Sydney. His family's obviously still living down here, and so Anthony has come back here to spend some time with them. And in the process of that, he's set up a meeting with Brody Croft at a busy cafe in East Sydney. Maroon, I know you're always down there in Stanley Street wearing out your shoe leather up and down the pavement there, saying hello to all the movers and shakers in town. But, like, they should have just called a press conference, because that's the type of exposure that you're setting yourself up for when you want to meet in that vicinity of the city. And so they did that. They're clearly talking to Brody Croft. Anthony Seibold's identified him as he's his number one recruitment target. He wants him for next season. The issue is, at the moment, they've only got a tick over 100 large in their salary cap for next season. So they've got to shift a few blokes to be able to fit him in. The Storm don't want to chip in. Brody, I think he's on about 370K this year. It goes up to 420 or 450 next year. And he's still signed with the Storm. So Melbourne won't throw in. The Broncos have got to somehow try and find some money.
Can I just ask Brownie on this? How you sort of worked at Melbourne and you got a halfback in Croft that is in an unbelievable system. Everybody there, they do their job. To play halfback there would seem to be pretty, well, easier than going to Brisbane and running the whole side with the pressure. And that's what Brody Croft's going to walk into.
Yeah, he's going to walk into, obviously, and he's going to walk into a team that's very talented but very young as well. Is Brody Croft the halfback that's going to take Brisbane to the promised land? That'd be a big question. As you said before, Gordy, you've had Daly Cherubins and Mitchell Pearce, different ones who have proven at the high level. Brody, Melbourne didn't think he was the right person for their team, and they actually played a fullback at halfback. So it'll be an interesting one if Broncos can make it work and what impact he has on that football team. I think he's been a very well-coached player. I don't think he's a natural reader of the play, but he's obviously been very well-coached. He kicks the ball well. Is he going to improve their squad? I'd say definitely going to improve it, but is he the player to take them to the promised land? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but, Brownie, the problem they've got is he's not a sure bet.
No, he's not. No, I agree with you.
They're gambling so much on positions already. They gambled on Milford coming through as a playmaker. He hasn't really done that. As you said, they've got all these guys out playing right centre. Jack Bird brought in, wanted to play 5'8", best positions right centre. There's too much gambling what they're doing. And I think to sit down and try and get a player like Brody Croft and then hope that he comes through and is all that they need him to be, I think it's another gamble the club don't need. I just wonder why they're going down this track. It's a poor dinner. Yeah, hope's a poor dinner, isn't it?
Yeah, I reckon they're going down this track, Kenny, because from an outside point of view, Brody Croft looks like an Anthony Seibold style of a player. Like, the Storm always describe him as a work in progress. He's certainly not a natural number seven. He's a manufactured number seven, but you know, so was Cooper Cronk, and ultimately he's ended up as one of the game's champions. But I just think the style of coach that Anthony Seibold is and the type of player that he likes, Brady Croft fits that bill. And I think that's why they're going after him.
All right, Sunday Triple M. Sorry, Paul.
Oh, I was just going to say that makes sense.
Mm. Anyway, you're our work in progress, Hoops. We're going to stick with you.
Don't use that about works in progress, mate.
Mate, I'll stand by you. We've got Brownie. We've got Paul Kemp. We've got Triceps right there. We've got Gordy Tallis and Maroon. We're going to speak to a friend of ours, Big Spud Carroll, who has been laid up in hospital because he was bitten by a... not a lion or a tiger or a savage animal. He was bitten by a tick. So old Thelma Carroll joins us next as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL. We've had a couple of people call in. What time is the grand final? 7:30 starting time for the grand final next week, boys and girls. And yesterday in the AFL, we forgot to mention earlier, our Sydney team, of course, played Richmond.
Oh, how did BWS go?
Richmond 114, GWS Giants 25. So...
mate,
good effort there,
put
boys.
Put the slipper in, Marine. You were texting me yesterday. Yeah. You wanted to put the slipper into GWS, yeah. So go on, put it in.
Excuse me, I don't. It doesn't affect me either way. I said thanks for your efforts, boys.
Oh, listen to you.
It was embarrassing, though.
Yeah, well, but
to be beaten like that in the grand final, 25 points.
Was that a record score?
There hadn't been a 25 points was the lowest. Score, I think, since the 50s.
Wow.
But that almost, I don't know what that game was clearly because I don't know much about AFL, but there's a fair chance that game was probably played on a bog. And it was just a messy, wet game back then. 25 points in the modern game. I can't remember a team being beaten that way.
It was a clear track, sunny day, look flat, look good conditions yesterday.
But they were poor from the start, the GWS. Like almost at the beginning, there was so much. All those little short passes they tried to put together, and they're overplaying the hand, and Richmond just picked them off.
Can't believe we're talking about AFL.
GW.
What are you laughing at, Gordon?
I'm just laughing at Kenny. Mate, you're on the AFL 360.
GWS's lowest score ever.
Never That's mind, why I had boys. To go to BWS to watch it.
There's always next year.
Mate, you've said it. Like, it's not funny the second time. What? If it's not funny the first, why is it going to be funny the second year?
Well, it's funny to me, Paul.
How long have they been in the comp for, GWS?
Eight years.
Is it 8 years, is it?
Yeah, they're a manufacturing site. They got all the draft picks, and they've had every leg up. Like, the AFL pumps $20 million a year into them, and the funny thing about them being in the grand final is all the Melbourne establishment AFL don't like them because they get all the leg ups and they get all the free kicks and they get all the handouts.
They've obviously done a lot right, though, haven't they? Like, to get to a grand final where if you look at the Gold Coast, they're still way down low, aren't they? So credit to
them. Hang on.
Just opened the door, Brownie, and you don't even know that you've opened it.
Look at Gordon, Graham.
He's talking about the Suns. The Suns took all the old players, like the Ablets, and tried to win straight away.
Yeah.
And
what's the Titans' excuse then?
The Titans are a whole other thing, aren't they?
Jeez, they're giving you some stick here, Gragra.
Yeah, mate, they took all Souths' good players.
Should have seen Maroon's chainsaw teeth light up, Gordy, when Brownie opened that door.
No, mate, please.
He had every key in the piano.
I was talking AFL, Maroon.
I know you were, mate. And the Titans are a whole other thing. They are going to get there one day. They're going to probably come second last next year, and that'll be a real step in the right direction. Anyway, let's talk to Mark. We're going to do a preview here of the... Excuse me? A preview of the Canterbury Cup here because two of the great old teams are playing, Newtown and Wente, and lots and lots of NRL players featuring this afternoon. The man across all this is our friend Spud Carroll, who's currently recuperating in hospital after a tick bite. Hello, Spud.
Oh, good afternoon, Maroon. You're all tough behind that microphone, are you? I've been popping text messages left, right and centre saying, a tick, you bloody cat. Oh, my God, I can't wait to see you, mate.
Mate, just calm down. I'm just making the point that when I was nine, a tick bit me, and I went straight home from old Sydney town back to my mum and dad's place, back to home in Redfern, and mum said, drop your pants and pick the tights, the tick out with a pair of pliers, a pair of tweezers.
She cut it out with a butter knife, didn't she?
Well, that's all we had back then. And, mate, you claim to be a big tough guy, and a tick's bitten you and you're in hospital.
I never said I was a tough guy, mate. No way in the world. But that's, mate, you want to say that, but my thing is, I've been by a tick on, I don't know, it must have been over a week. I remember I felt something on the side of my guts coming to work one day up early at 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought, oh, shit. Maybe a little pimple or something, didn't think anything of it. And then My last Sunday, I was dying. I was sweating, shivering, carrying on like a good sort. Went to the doctors. I actually had a day off work, first in 14 years, a sick day anyway. And then went Tuesday, and just by fate, I went to the next door to the lady to show her, because I had this like a rash going down to my ankle where I've had bloody ankle effusion. And I thought, oh, well, here we go. What's next? She said it's what they call cellulitis, which is the inflammation of the skin. And I said, well, I've got no cuts here. I said, I got this thing, and it was a tick, and we shouldn't have taken it out, mate. When we took it out, nothing, the bloody thing spat some poison in there, and it just escalated. Thank God I got to ring my surgeon up just to say, mate, I think I've got an infection in my leg. Usually, I don't get to see him. Yeah, he said, come straight in, mate. Next thing, 2 hours later, I'm laying in bloody bed, and I've been here since Tuesday.
Sounds like you're lonely in there, too.
Oh, mate, how bored am I? I am absolutely bored, mate. Absolutely bored.
No need to inflict it on us then, Spud.
No good unit, no good. Hey, Joel Kane, our good friend of the program, Joel Kane from Sportsbet's just been in touch. He's framed a market. Mark Carroll, $1.01. Anthony Maroon, 66-1 and drifting. And he said that market could well be suspended in the next 60 seconds.
That's a good price in a two-horse race there, Maroon.
I know it is, mate.
I've just hung a new chain in my gym to hang a boxing bag. So come in, Maroon.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you, mate. I'm not that scared of you anymore, mate.
Oh!
If you're going to go to hospital because a tick bit you, and then you'd give us a 15-minute story that you could have told us in 1 minute, I'm going to start calling you Thelma. What happened the day the tick bit you? Oh, I walked in the car. I started the car. I put the radio on. I drove up the road.
Right. Well, it's enough of me. I'm getting out tomorrow. I'm glad you're missing me.
Okay, mate.
I'm here to talk about the I'm just so wrapped for New South Wales Cup. They've got two sides coming from 7th and 8th. Newtown and Wendy have made the grand final. The players in it, just a couple of players, Tim Manners, you know, this could be his last game. David Gower on the other side, he plays for Wendy. And then we've got, on the other side, we've got Joloff, who's front row. And I've got this young kid who plays for Newtown, mate, Toby Rudolph, his name is. He just reminds me so much of the Jeff Robinson back in the Canterbury days, just rugged, and it's going to be a great challenge.
Yeah, there is a lot of big names, isn't it, in either of these sides, Spud? You got even Matty McIlrick's playing. He's played, obviously, NRL. And then the other side of the coin, you got Blake Brayley, Scotty Sorensen, Billy Magoulis, they've all played. Jason Bakuya is another one. So should be good quality footy at Bankwest Stadium.
Yeah, it should be a great game. Like I said, for Fox, I watched it last week. Josh Hoffman, 250 metres, fullback for the winning side. So hopefully, I don't know what sort of crowd they're going to get. I don't know why they keep changing all these grounds. We're now watching the women's playing now at Leichhardt. Score, I can't see it because this TV's too small. Only half the program comes up anyway. So I just think it's going to be a great thing. And I think it's at 4 o'clock, Channel 9.
Are you on medication?
Yeah, I am. You can you tell? Oh, my God. I've just shut up for the first time.
the green whistle.
Areas where it's going crazy.
Yeah, that's... Hey, listen, we love you, Spud. So, you know, you're always welcome on this show when it's quality radio like that. So.
Mate, it's quality, mate. Thanks, buddy.
Good on you, mate. Who do you tip to win this one?
I think Wenty. Right, and I used to play for Wenty, so I'll go for Wenty.
All right, Wenty and the Jets. Good on you, Spud. Here's to a good, safe recovery.
Yeah, look out, Maroon. Bye-bye.
No worries, buddy. Yeah, you got our tick of approval there. You've done a good job.
Did he say
there.
He had a rash all the way down to his ankle?
Yeah, he had cellulitis.
Have you ever had one of those, Maroon?
I haven't had anything like that. When the tick bit me, straight out with the tweezers.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You just put a little bit of Vaseline over the top of the tick, and that's how you get rid of them.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really?
Yep.
A little bit of Vaso over the top of the
what
tick.
What is that rash that you've done? Smothers them. One of your legs earlier.
Oh, that
in the
was
year.
A chafing there from running along the beach.
Oh, right. It wasn't the Portuguese breakfast.
No, I know. I had one of those today. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and try and get this whole thing back on track here. We're going to talk more about this great grand final that we're going to cover off for you. And we're going to compare the 89 Raiders to the 2019 Raiders as well. And that's all coming up as Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final. Triple M rocking the NRL Grand Final with a bit of In Excess. And we've got Brownie here today, Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. We are going to compare now, of course, this momentous occasion which sees the Raiders into the Grand Final 30 years after their original appearance in 1989. Now, I don't think any of us who are old enough would ever forget where we were that day. Probably the most, certainly the most epic grand final I had seen to that point. The Balmain Tigers up against the Canberra Raiders. That Raiders side went down in history. So what I've done, boys, is to take the side and print the both sides off, the 2019 side and the 89 side, and give you blokes an opportunity just to run your eyes across it so that you can tell me who you think, how you think they compare the 89 side to the 2019 Raiders side. 30 years apart, the fullback back in 89 was, of course, the great Gary Belcher, up against one of the buys of the year here in Sean's Nickel Klokstad hoops.
Well, I mean, Badge Belcher is one of the best fullbacks to ever play the game. He played for Australia, he played for Queensland, and he was a magnificent player. But value for money-wise this season, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better buy than Sean's Nickel Klokstad. He only arrived in Canberra in late January, and he was no guarantee of winning a place in the starting side, but such was his form and his application and his dedication that he's a magnificent story, and he's been a real find for them this year.
Look, I just look, Gary Belcher's the one you got picked there. He was an international by that stage.
Okay. Brownie, do you want to weigh in on this, mate?
Oh, Gary Belcher's fullback, yep. Hands down.
And I guess you're going to say the same, Gordy?
Yeah, well, he was the first fullback to to sort of link and play like a 5'8 role.
Yeah, he was.
Gary Belcher. He's a great mate. He's got wonderful hands.
Other notable matchups in this side, if I just go through the, you know, the more notable names.
Well, just read out each team, Anthony.
All right.
How about we start so people actually know what they're listening for?
All right. So the Raiders fullback was Gary Belcher. The wingers are Matty Wood and John Ferguson. The centres, Mal Meninga and Laurie Daly. The 5'8 for the 89 side was Chris O'Sullivan, the halfback Ricky Stewart. Then the front row for the Raiders, Brent Todd and Glenn Lazarus. The hooker was Steve Walters. The back row was the already veteran Dean Lance, Gary Coyne and young Bradley Clyde locking up the scrum. And then the bench was Kevvy Walters, Steve Jackson, Paul Martin and the coach was Tim Sheens. Of course, Steve Jackson came on to score that try. The current Raiders side, Sean's Nickel Klokstad, Kotrick, Rapana, Croker, Leilua in the centres, White and Caesar, the half and 5'8", Papali and Soliola up front, Hodgson, the legendary hooker, then Bateman and Whitehead, Tarpanay, then on the bench, Simonson, Omre Gula, Corey Horsburgh, and Dunamis Louis. So, boys, what do you want to compare next? What about if I said Mal Meninga and Jared Croker? Obviously, two legends of the Raiders club.
Yeah, you'd need about 2 seconds.
Yeah, betting suspended again, Anthony. Like, Mal's an immortal, and look, Toots Croker, you know, fantastic player, great clubman, wonderful captain, all of those things. But it's a no contest, Anthony. Like, one's an immortal. In fairness, Anthony, I'm just looking at both of these teams, and that 89 side was such a gun team.
Mm.
You'd be hard-pressed displacing anybody out of that side. Maybe Jack Whiten at 5'8", rather than
Papali would be.
Yeah, what about Papali?
Yeah, well, but who are you going to drop, Gordy? Glenn Lazarus? Todd. You drop Brent Todd. Yeah, but
I'll say this though. Look, let's just remember the time frame. This Raiders side was still very young.
So yes,
Ricky Stewart was only in his second year of first grade. Laurie Daly was only in his third year of first grade. Laurie had played Origin in 89, was his first Origin campaign, and at that point he was. It was a losing campaign for the Blues. Jack Gibson picked a New South Wales side that year, and he had the likes of Brad Clyde and Laurie Daly in the side. But they were very much outmatched by Queensland at the time, and most people conceded afterwards that they probably got picked a little bit too early in their development to win the series. Certainly, they became great players. So Ricky Stewart wasn't Ricky Stewart. Laurie Daly wasn't Laurie Daly. Brad Clyde had already played for Australia by then, admittedly, in the 89 season. So he was advanced for his stages. Glenn Lazarus was still a young prop coming through.
Yeah, and that's a good point you make there.
And you think that Jack Whiten had probably...
Well, we're looking at these guys. We're looking at these guys now in hindsight of what they went on to do in their careers. And even Gary Belcher was still young in his rep career. I think he go with the 86 Kangaroos, or was it just 90 Kangaroos that Belcher went with?
I'm not old enough to remember that, Paul.
I'll tell you what's a measure.
No, 92, I reckon.
What's a good 90 measure?
90.
What about the back row there, though, Brownie? So you've got that 89 side, Dean Lance and Gary Coyne. But this current side is John Bateman and Elliot Whitehead. So if we're going to say you can't really compare the two, well...
The hard thing with comparing is it's 30 years ago?
Yeah. Different game.
Well, there's not one Polynesian player in the Canberra side.
Mm.
And who'd they beat?
Balmain.
There wasn't a Polynesian player in the Balmain side neither. So that just shows you how far the game's changed. If you look at the size of the two wingers, Chicka Ferguson, my dad coached Chicka Ferguson at South Grafton when they won a premiership before he ended up at Canberra. Chicka Ferguson and Matt Wood as opposed to the size of Rapana and Kotrick. So the game's very, very different now to actually be able to compare them. But you talk about roster management and salary caps. At those blokes in their prime, unless you had a lot of cash getting thrown around on third parties, there's no way you're fitting Walters, Lazarus, Stewart, Maniga, Daly, Belcher, Clyde. All these blokes were in the best players in the world in their position. As time went on, as Kenny's made the point, they're younger players here at this stage. But to some of the sides that took part years ago in the era of a salary cap, you know, unless there's a bit of fiddling going on, there's no possible way you can put some of the sides together. Like the Bugalugs over there, his side at Brisbane in 97-98, like, have a look at that. Like, there's no way. You need about 15 or 20 million to put it together now.
Well, don't worry, Brownie. There's plenty of cash here. We've got the King of Little Bay. But if you
the Raiders did get pinched.
They did.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Talk us through that, Paul.
They just got caught. They just got caught fiddling the books.
Yeah.
Anthony, so they got caught. They got a small fine. Back then, it wasn't frowned upon as it is now. As it used to be, but it seems now you can lose a premiership out of getting caught. Yeah, and it's not as severe as it was some years back.
But I think that's why Lazarus had to take off, wasn't it, Paul? That's why Lazarus had to go to the Raiders.
Bennett went hard after him at getting to the Broncos because Bennett knew he needed a big front rower. And so they went after Lazarus, who obviously was on the rise. And, it was the best prop we've seen for 60, 70 years, Lather. He was a great, great front rower. He's just behind Beats and in my books as the best ever.
Wow.
Funny story about Glenn Lazarus. I played against him plenty of times on the wrong side of the scoreboard most of the time. But when Jason Rolls was a young front rower, I was working with Rolls and he had a few little discipline issues, Rolls, when he was younger.
Short fuse.
He won't mind me saying that when he was a younger bloke. And I didn't know Glenn Lazarus at all, and I rang him up and said, mate, would you be able to have a look at Jason Rolls' game? We'll pay you some money if you come down and just do a session with him and do some video. And he goes, mate, you don't need to pay me. I'll watch him play. I'll do some stuff up, and I'll fly myself down there. I'll get myself a car, and I'll come down. I said, oh, no, we'll pay for it. He said, no, don't worry about it. He goes, I'd love to help the young bloke.
Wow.
Off his own bat. Yeah, so he watched him play for a week or two, come down, did a video session with Jason Rolls, and it was really, it was a good part of his career, I thought,
That 89 grand final, though, apart from, let me ask you this, boys, apart from grand finals that you've played in or someone like me, your own team was in, that 89 grand final, it does stand out, doesn't it? For so many people, for so many reasons.
Well, there were so many moments in the game where the momentum swung. Suddenly, Balmain are coming home. They led at halftime, but then suddenly there's an ankle tap. There's all sorts of things.
Then he hit the crossbar. Megsie Neal got ankle tapped by Mal Gary Meninga Jack in dropping a set play where they deliberately isolated Mal and tried to get at him in a set piece.
Gary Jack was dropped the ball. He would never have dropped. Remember, he had the big arm guards on, so he couldn't catch the ball properly, and he dropped the ball. Wayne Pearce dropped the ball right near the end of the game that he wouldn't normally drop. But just the pressure of the game, and then he brought on Steve Jackson that came on and just, basically just iced it.
Well, in the walk, Warren Ryan, you know, it's still one of the most talked about coaching calls to this day is when he subbed off Blocker Roach and Paul Sirenin. And,
which I think he did the right thing.
Well, it had been working for him up until
it has. That everyone overlooks that. Everyone uses an excuse to dig the knife in on Wok, but it was the correct play at the time. Where it backfired was once it went into extra time, he couldn't get him back on.
Pardon me, it was 12.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I reckon it's also an endorsement for, and I know this is one of my little hobby horses, for the interchange. The fact that both those teams were so fatigued is what brought it into that heroic element. That they went beyond themselves in that game. And that's a big part of why we remember the game and why everybody's so fond of it, because they pushed themselves beyond where they normally go, and it resulted in moments we don't normally see. You would never see a game like that in the modern game because they are so fit and fresh these days. Players just are not fatigued. Steve Jackson would never be able to score that try in the modern game because
their technique would be better, tackling him.
Not only that good, they'd be a fresher defenders. Yeah. There would be a fresh edge back rower right where he got the ball.
And with that grand final, I think the score at halftime might have been 12-2 or
12-2. 12-2.
12-2,
yeah.
And Brownie, the 99 grand final, the score at halftime was 14-0, I think you guys were. Was it 14-0 or might have been 16-0 at halftime?
Well, 14-2 or something, was it? I can't remember now.
I think too much about that one, Maroon. In the old days, though, no, they're not there. They're the old days, but that's 20 and 30 years ago. I think if you got up, if you're a supporter, you, if your team's up 14-2 at halftime, you probably think you're going to win the game.
Yeah.
As to now, you probably think, oh, well, that's nowhere near enough.
You could defend those leads back then, the way the game was played. A 14-16 point break was enough, easily enough to win the game. These days, you can pull that back in 10 minutes.
I was only pretty young back then, but I remember rightly that the Raiders were the underdogs, weren't they?
Yes, very much so.
And when you look at, in hindsight, that group of players like Walters, Lazarus, Stewart, Meninga, Daly, those blokes, they went on and won another two grand finals, you know. So they were young, some of them might have been younger players, but at the end of the day, the side with the probably all-round best players actually won that grand final.
Well, Laurie Doe was only 19 in this game.
Wow. Yeah, Brad Clyde was about the same.
Laurie Doe played the country when he was 17.
A measure of that side as well is the fact that Kevvy Walters is on the bench and he went on and won six goals.
Yeah, it's amazing, so, isn't it?
But to your point, Maroon, about you know, being ahead 12-2 back in those days, 1989 we're talking about, I remember being a kid in the crowd, and Balmain had been the best side all season that year. South won the minor premiership, and the Raiders beat them in the prelim to get into the grand final. But Balmain had made the grand final the year earlier, and Warren Ryan had him playing this style of football that was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant and fantastic to watch. And they had Blocker Roach and Wayne Pearce and Benny Elias and Paul Sirenin, and it was an all-international, Bruce McGuire, it was an all-international pack. And at 12-2 at halftime, you did think, well, we're in the box seat here. But what unfolded was one of the greatest grand finals of all time, and it's still... not a nice subject to have to talk about for people who are Balmain fans.
No, absolutely, mate.
But to the Raiders' credit, it'll be celebrated and remembered as one of the most epic grand finals ever.
Okay, and of course the grand final will be live on the Triple M network, so if it's if you want, get the app at triplem.com.au, the footy app, or just listen to the station you are listening to, because we'll be rocking the grand final live from midday next Sunday. So, Paul Kent, this is where we say goodbye to you, mate.
It's where I say goodbye to you.
And we'll catch you on NRL 360, where I noticed somebody did email in and say, when was I making an appearance on NRL?
Yeah.
And I've spoken to your superiors there. I can't get there till April, but I'm going to try and get there by about round four next year.
Well, we'd love to never have you. So.
Well, mate, the people have spoken, so sorry, brother. I'll see you there.
By popular demand, is it, Maroon?
It's people.
They
power.
Did a poll, Brownie, and it was overwhelming, 100%.
All I know
Redfern
is
Redfern Rocket has to be involved in NRL 360.
All I know is I was watching NRL 360, and I saw your name. You did your email come through.
Yep.
When is Anthony Maroon going to be on NRL 360? Immediately, I got hold of some of the big wigs there. I said to them, "I'm locked in. I've got stuff to do, but I'll try and get there by April."
Is it also because we invoice? You weren't real keen on that. That's what I heard. I heard that because we're actually a proper company and we have to invoice, you weren't that keen.
Mate, I'm like Lazo. I'll just come in just to help you blokes out. We'll catch on NRL 360.
See you next week.
Brownie will hang around. Gordy will hang around. Hoops will hang around as well, and we'll talk more about the grand final as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.